I am an man, and a man is who I am. I am an... That's too high, darling. I did say that. I did say that.
You made me do it, Sir Peter. Hello, my darlings. Hello. Welcome to I Am Anna Man, episode 2 of the second series. We're actually continuing. I know. I've never continued anything in my life. Well, once a Curly Whirly. I got all the way to the end. But apart from that, I've, you know, very little I've actually kept going. But I'm here right now. So that's exciting, isn't it? Yes. I'm here right now in the historic town of York. I'm using the original Viking pronunciation there. And it's wonderful. I think some of it, I mean, some of it's over 100 years old. Am I right there, David?
That's right, yes.
Yes, I'm joined by the wonderful David Reed, who is an actor, comedian, writer, and just all-round good guy. He's let me stay here tonight, last night, came to the show.
I did, yes.
Has made me free two coffees.
Two coffees. Two
and co- I made
you
myself
want the
an
third. It went cold.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God, yes. I mean, I will drink cold coffee, but it's not the same, is it? I
it's
mean, that's
not the
why
same,
we heat
no.
it up. Mm. Am I right in saying
well,
that?
Well, I think there's people whose entire job it is to heat up coffee.
The barista.
The barista.
I love a good barista. A lot of my best friends are baristas,
yes.
So I won't have a bad word said about them. You know?
My cousin once asked me if I knew any baristas, and I was like, what a strange question.
Mm.
And it turned out she was in desperate need of a barrister.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Due to her poor education,
yes.
Actually. So the two were linked.
But, yes, yes.
It's actually true.
Now, David's going very posh, and I think that's because he's around me.
It is.
But he can't help
when
it.
When people introduce me as an actor,
yeah.
I feel
it's
I
hard.
Have to sound like one.
I know. But what... So that's an interesting place to start, I think.
Yes.
So,
would you like me to use my normal guttural?
I think I would.
Because people might think you're talking to Sean Bean. And I'll let it out, shall I?
Let it out. Oh, fuck. Right. Let's hear it. Say something. Because he's actually from York.
I am. It's coming. It's slowly.
Now you've gone up posh.
Yeah, yes.
Well, down south, but up in the posh.
Well, that's it.
Up in the world, but down in the south. That's what
my
we say in London.
My register goes to my natural baritone when I let out the actual accent.
Listen to that. I prefer it.
Do you?
I do.
Because it puts some people off. They don't know what to think. And I think this is largely...
I don't know where you are. Now you've gone a bit like a robot. Now you're a Yorkshire robot.
Right.
Who is... That.
Well, the emotion goes
sometimes.
Because we're more stoic up here, you see. But
stoic.
I think people's expectation of this accent has been sort of poisoned by the likes of Jason Manford and Lee Mack.
They fucked it.
Creating an incredibly simplistic version of what Northerners are like.
But where are you now, tone-wise? I still can't tell.
Tone-wise?
Are you there now?
I'm there now. This is just me.
Is that you?
This is how I'm feeling right now, yes.
Can you describe the feeling of being a Northerner?
Well, it's sort of there's a philosophical sort of indifference to it. It's a sort of a weary looking over a weary moor. Just thinking.
Is that what you see when
Well, life will go on. Things aren't great, but then they're also not terrible. It's somewhere in the middle there.
We're all right.
We're fine.
We get by.
Yeah, like.
So when you look at London, you just see a moor.
London is a strange place to return to. It's I always feel like the trains drop me off in some sort of a pedal bin. It's an absolutely filthy
city.
A pedal bin.
Oh, fuck.
So it's a filthy city, and you don't.
It's filthy.
I lived
it's
there
disgusting.
For 12 years. I lived there for 12 years, and you don't realise you're living in a bin.
12 years of filth. I know. And at the minute, sadly, because Sabita Runway and I had a bit of a disagreement.
Well, not another one.
No, it wasn't. It was his daughter came around and said, look, you... She called me some very nasty names, actually.
Right.
Look, you're not married to him anymore.
Yes.
Right? You got divorced 20 years ago. I know what you're doing because his mind is going. You've come here and you're just pretending that you're still married.
Right.
And I said, how fucking dare you? You don't know this man. You don't know... I said, yes, I do. It's my dad.
Right.
So anyway, she's kicked me out.
Oh, she can do that, can't she?
Well, I mean, we're not... I have no legal right over him, you know, but it was wonderful while it lasted, because he was,
and she was
funding it. You're going posh.
Sorry, it's quite interesting. It's very hard to sing in a northern accent.
Oh, yes.
It's very hard to sing because of just the way that...
Well, let's do a classic. So I've got, obviously, Aliens, the musical.
Yes.
No one in space can hear me scream, but boy, can they hear me sing?
Yes.
So let's try that.
No one in space can hear me scream, but boy, can they hear me sing.
Yes, it's
it
weird.
It doesn't work.
I feel like I'm trying to sell you bread.
Right.
Do you see what I mean by that?
It doesn't work.
I feel like I'm on an advert. I'm large.
Yes.
I'm at the top of a hill, and I'm singing, buy this bread.
So I tend to go posh when I'm trying to emote more.
Do you feel your career, because I've always seen you actually, I mean this in the nicest way, but I've always seen you as the northern southern thing is very, it is interesting because I mean I'm from the Midlands originally,
right.
from Nottingham, you know.
I've passed through it a lot,
which is neither here nor there in many ways. It's just like, I mean, I always think in Greek legends, you know, when you died you went to Tartarus, which was hell, or the Asphodel Fields, Elysium, sorry, which was heaven, and then the Asphodel Fields is where everyone else went.
Sort of mingled about.
They just sort of walked around faceless and anonymous, you know. And I think Nottingham Market Square on a Sunday afternoon was a very similar place, you know.
Yes.
A lot of people walking around, going, "Who am I? What's going on here?" You know what I mean?
Yes.
I ain't got any purpose, mate. That sort of thing. And so I got out as soon as I could. I really did. I met up with my best friend Sue Clinch one day outside Rock City, and I was like, fuck this, Sue, let's leg it, you know. And we just legged it, and we kept on running, you know, for upwards of 3 minutes, and then we just got a cab.
Yeah,
but what were we talking about? Yes, so let's talk a bit about Dave's
talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors, yeah, they rule the world.
I know you from the wonderful sketch group, The Penny Dreadfuls.
Right, yes, that was me.
They're a fun bunch, aren't they? Because you've got Humphrey.
Yes.
So if you don't know The Penny Dreadfuls, they still exist.
They do.
They've sort of split, but they come back. They haven't split.
Well, we never split. We just stopped peddling.
But when I say split, I mean as in you literally went to different places.
Right, one
and
of
then
us
you
lives
come
in
together
America now.
In America. So Humph, lovely Humphrey, is very tall. He's 6 foot 12.
Yes.
And another foot. He's skinny. He's lovely. Very sort of warm. And, you know, everyone... I remember Mother met him. And he just said something. He said the briefest of words, just like, hello, how are you? And she suddenly turned into this sort of quivering sort of feudal slave, you know. Right. Oh, yes, master, yes, you know. And not that he was being commanding, because he does... I think proper posh people, so like me and ye, pretend to be posh, don't we?
Right.
Because we're not really, you know, but put it on. Put it on?
Put it on.
See, I don't even know. That's not
don't
even creeping in there. But real ones, they don't have to, do they? It's like real gangsters don't have to be scared.
Oh, they never have to raise their voice. Everyone knows the menace
exactly.
in the eyes.
So anyway, my point is, Humph, you've got him up there.
Yes.
You in the middle.
Right.
Who is posher northern? Is that fair?
Well, tricky, actually, because...
I don't mean you're posh, but
no,
I mean
no,
you're northern...
I am from York, which is posh north.
Yes, okay, that's what I mean. Like Edinburgh to Scotland.
Right, that's exactly it. So it's the historical city where the middle class live.
I mean, it's over 100 years old.
Over
right?
100 years
really?
old, so I've read, yeah.
Not much more.
I mean, I wasn't around then, so I can't vouch for that, but
certainly
Sir old...
Peter Runway was.
Really?
God, he's really kicking on
He
now.
Must have been there when they built
I
the wall.
I cannot believe that man is not dead.
Well, I mean, you're very unlucky.
I think it's only me keeping him alive, to be honest.
And you've been kicked out.
Exactly. He'll wither and die like a sponge covered in acid.
Well, you'll need to lean on
which
that.
Which is what she's probably doing to him right now.
Probably.
She's a monster. Anyway, what we're talking about.
Right.
Let's get back to the beginning.
Right.
The David Reed story.
Right.
There we go. And then we'll find these things.
We'll find the Penny Dreadfuls again.
That's how
en route.
That's how talking works,
it
isn't
does.
It? Because I forget, you know, because... Talking, I have this condition where if anyone else is talking, I do often just fall asleep, and
right.
it's a real problem.
Or just start talking.
Yes, I mean louder and aggressively, and if it sometimes with my hand over the other person's mouth, you know, just because that's, you know, where I'm obviously a lot older than you, and where nowadays, you know, you can get away with being northern and stuff, you know, but or being a bit shy.
No, I think you can get away with being a posh person who does a northern accent for television.
Oh, like Game of Thrones.
I don't think the other way round is really open yet.
A northern person who gets away with being posh.
There's tokenism still. Sean Bean exists, therefore no other northerners
arguably
exist.
Arguably
these days.
I mean,
arguably,
there is. I don't know if you've read the is Sean Bean CGI conspiracy.
No, I haven't read this one.
Well, okay, we'll have a little Google afterwards.
Okay.
So trust me, there's a lot there that you don't know about.
Okay.
We may have just been looking at an imposter the whole time. And
wow.
There's also, of course, the whole conspiracy that he died when he was about 16. It's just been his twin ever since.
Well, they're sailing very close to the wind there because he dies in every film as well. So that's asking for trouble, really.
Anyway, I mean, what's that telling us? You know, like with the Beatles,
yes,
with Paul McCartney, the conspiracy. Yeah. It's not a scandal because it's not true, but the conspiracy
that he's been dead.
You know, Paul is really dead in the song and all that stuff. You know, if you listen, if you play back a lot of Sean Bean's films, you know, even Game of Thrones, you know, when he says whatever he says in that. I don't know. I don't watch other things that I'm not in. But he, apparently you play it back and he says, I'm actually fucking dead.
And that must be very hard to find a line that makes sense in both directions. As well, and,
well it doesn't. I mean, nothing he says makes sense. Right. I've really turned on Sean Bean. And I just, for the record, I just want to say, I've never met him and I'm actually a big fan.
I've met him. He was very nice.
Oh, what happened?
I interviewed him for a show about films I did on Absolute Radio. But he was a very friendly man. He asked me where I'm from when we'd finished the interview, actually. He was very professional during the interview.
Yes.
And then I turned the recording device off and he said, where are you from, by the way? I went, I'm from York. He went, oh, I've got a friend in York, Mark Addy. Do you know him?
Yes.
And I was...
Mark Addy, the other actor.
The other actor.
The only other actor from the North.
He's from York. It's him and Dame Judi Dench are from York. Those are the two.
Yes, but she was sort of built.
She was built in
if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. I had to say, no, I'm sorry, we don't all know each other, but it was very nice to hear. And the irony is, lovely. I now do know Mark Addy since I moved back here, but Sean is none the wiser. He's not aware of this. You're really ticking him off. Yeah, yeah.
But did you sense he had that thing where if you were posh, because sometimes I get this, and this is true, when I'm with someone who's not posh, and I want to scream, darling, I'm not actually posh, you know, but they immediately go, you're probably one of those, you know, those Cambridge people.
No, darling,
I'm really not.
Yeah,
you know?
going back to the penny
But then the more you push it, the more it sounds like you're, you know, the lady doth protest too much.
Right, that's it. I have actually only really been cast in posh roles because I started in a sketch group with a very tall Etonian who draws the eye, and we did sort of whimsical.
That, I did a musical about that. I'm a very tall Etonian, I draw the eye.
Did you play the Etonian?
No. That was Philip Squires, lovely chap.
Right.
Wonderful. Sorry, Karen. So let's go back to the finish your point.
Right. So
the problem
what
is, me and Dave love talking.
We do.
Which is actually very good for him. Also,
I mean, we're being very good because normally...
I'm eating some strudel cake. Is that what it's called?
Stupwaffel.
What?
Stupwaffel.
Never.
Yes.
Never again.
That's it.
Right.
But because we were doing Victorian sketch comedy, poshy stuff, exactly. Mm. People were like, well, they're... And we did posh accents for most of it, which is what people expect. I only got... cast in preposterous top roles, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Which I'm not actually better at than actual posh people, of which
that's
there are
it.
Loads.
Yeah.
Loads.
Because they can sense it.
Right.
They can sniff you out, can't they, that you're not really one.
Because I'm lampooning those people.
So let's do it. The David Reed story.
Right.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, this is exciting.
So where does it begin?
Well, actually, I have been thinking about this recently because I've recently moved back.
I mean,
back
I
to
imagine
York.
You were born.
I was born.
So, yes.
I was born here in York.
I wouldn't question that too much.
Just up the road from where we are now, Anna.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
And home birth, of course. But
and just remind me, I'd like to talk a bit about your shower before the end of the podcast.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, carry on.
Do you have issues with my shower?
No, I fucking loved it.
Okay.
I want to talk about it.
Fine. But basically, how I got into acting.
I'll talk about it now. Wonderful shower. There's nothing worse than staying at someone's house and they say, oh, you can use the shower, you know, or you demand, you know, where is the fucking shower?
Right.
And you're going, and it's a trickle.
Right.
It's horrible. It's awful, you know? Mm. And I know you're there, they're being charitable to have you there, but at the same time, get your shower sorted. You know, you've got a fucking guest.
You know?
This is what I was screaming at Sir Peter for ages. This is why his daughter eventually came out. Anyway, it's wonderful. It's a button.
That's right.
I mean, that's already I'm interested.
And it lights up blue, doesn't it?
It lights up blue.
Yes.
Right? So that's fun. It's warm. It's the right temperature immediately. Mm. I turned it all the way to hot, but it still didn't burn my skin. And underneath there, halfway through the shower, I had a look. There's a little button. What's it say on the button?
Boost.
Boost. Now, I can tell the listeners are getting, all right, okay, now we're in. We weren't sure about everything else we've said so far, Anna, because you've been waffling. And ironically, eating a German waffle.
Right.
But now we're interested. Should I do it? I thought. Real moment. Do I dare? Do I dare to eat a peach? You know, as yeah. Elliot said, I did it. And fuck, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the change was.
No.
If I'm honest.
Because it's pretty powerful when you first
turn it on. It was already good. It was a bit like taking drugs, where you've been told it's a drug.
Mm.
You know, ecstasy, cocaine.
Mm.
But you have a bit, and you're like, is this doing anything? Yes, I think it is. I think it is. Yeah, I'm high, I'm right. dancing. And then it turns out later, it wasn't, not, you know, and I you mean, were scammed. Mostly so my, is it a scam?
No, I don't think it is, but I'm uncertain, like you are. Mm. I mean, what I do know is that when you press the boost button, a second blue light comes on, and that's something.
Yeah. But is it just a placebo, is what I'm saying? Are you going, there's a second blue light, it must be a boost?
I think it adds a bit more water. Bit more. I think
I'm not even sure. Out.
No. I mean, I
was, you know, like the 60s Batman with the Batmobile when they hit the I was expecting something like that, but water where he had fire.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm glad it didn't, because actually it would have felt like I was at a riot and I was being hosed. Final question.
Yes.
How often have you ever had a shower in that shower and not turned on the boost?
You know, I think I have.
And did it feel...
I didn't miss it.
I think we need to talk to the manufacturers about that boost, because I think either it's not working or they're pulling a fast one. But it's so much better. I mean, like when I stayed at Sue Clinch's, you know, and she said, Anna, you can have a shower if you want. I was like, oh, lovely, you know. And it wasn't. I mean, let's be honest, it was a tap. Wasn't
right.
It,
really.
It was
right.
It was a sink with a tap.
One of those hoses they stick on the two taps.
I'd love to say that, but no, it was literally a sink.
A sink.
It was just a sink. Oh, and I said, God. Sue, this isn't a shower. Yeah, it is. It's a shower. You know, I said, no, Sue, that's not a shower.
It sort of splashes her naked
that's
body
a faucet.
Out of the...
God knows what she does.
Right.
She said, well, she sort of... I said, show me then, show me. So first she disrobed, which was terrifying for a start. You know, it was like something from Nightmare on Elm Street. And then she climbs into the whole sink. And God knows how she did it, because she's not small.
But bendy by the sounds.
But, I mean, that's the one thing about her, is she can really get into small places.
Right.
The David Reed story.
Right.
We begin at the beginning. You are born.
I'm born. And I go to a local school in York. And interestingly, I think I had no interest in performance or even being seen. But I remember being offered the role of wise man in the nativity when, sadly, one of the other boys had to drop out due to illness.
Oh, God. And what happened to him?
I don't know. I mean, I think he just got the mumps or something.
Oh, God.
Around Christmas.
Do you know how he's doing now?
We're not still in touch.
Oh, God. Maybe we can find out. Maybe if anyone... what was his name?
Nicholas.
If anyone can find out, then please do get in touch.
But basically, they offered me the part of the wise man, and I turned it down.
You turned it
my
down?
My first ever role,
you
turned
were like,
down.
Oh, fuck. You were like... You phoned the agent and you were like, right, mum or dad, and you were like, right, okay, they've offered me this. What do you think? I want to hold out for Jesus.
It's come through. It's one
not
night.
Jesus, because that would be a baby, but Joseph.
Sure, but it's come through.
Herod.
It's,
what's the best role in the nativity?
It's third wise man, and they made that very clear.
You
and
were third.
This would have been third wise
man. Myrrh?
Yes,
Balthazar?
Myrrh.
No, Caspar, Balthazar, Malcolm.
Malcolm.
So you would have been Malcolm with the myrrh.
Malcolm with the myrrh. And I just went, you know what? No, I don't want this.
Fuck you, Teach.
I don't want this.
As in, you're saying I'm bigger than this?
No, I think there was nothing in it for me. I hadn't considered acting as
you're
a
going
professional.
Posh. And what did you want to do? Climb trees, play football?
You know what? I think back to that time, my two heroes at that time were Jim Henson and George Lucas. So I think I wanted
how
to...
How old were you?
I was 6, 7 years old.
So you were already involved in... Interested in behind-the-scenes stuff.
I like the father figures, the godheads, you know, the real creators who created a team around them. I didn't like the front and centre... The foot soldiers.
So you were talking about Star Wars, for example.
Yes.
I presume that was where...
Yeah, I was hugely into Star Wars. But also the Ewok
but you
movies
were like,
and all the Ewok movies. And
American Graffiti, of
right.
course.
I was hugely into American Graffiti.
But you were very much like, okay... Yeah, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Darth Vader, whatever. I want to see this sort of
I
big
want the
bearded,
slightly autistic man
type
with
character.
The beard.
Yes.
Yeah, that's who I want to be. Yeah.
Wow. Would you say, because that's always struck me about you, which I think is a really interesting thing, and I envy a little bit, because I'm very much like, look at me, you know, all the time. But I've always felt like, especially with the Penny Dreadfuls and everything, you're thinking about the whole beast.
Right, yes.
Would you say that's true? The story, and, you know, almost in terms of acting wise, to a fault to yourself, sometimes, you think?
Absolutely.
You don't make yourself the star, necessarily.
No, I make myself the facilitator more often than not. But those rare times
that's not necessarily a bad thing, I've been the one who gets
to show off, I've hugely enjoyed it, but it's because I've given myself that space. It's a holiday. So in sketches like The Creep, which we did again and again and again.
Yeah, I remember.
I got to be the titular creep, and that was enormous fun just to try and annoy Humphrey as much as possible.
Was there a sense of, I like this, I appreciate what it is, but I'm personally, my drive isn't look at me, look at me, look at me. My drive is, how do we make this whole thing
That's right.
fit?
And let
a bit
me,
more clockwork.
Let me take you another step further on that journey.
Please.
I do eventually become an actor, of course, by the end of this story. So there's two more small events I need to fill you in on.
Okay.
I'm still at the local state school.
Right.
I've turned down the role in The Nativity.
I love that you turned it down. Right. How did you... can we recreate that? Just briefly.
Sure. Okay, so I'll have to get into the mind of a six-year-old boy.
What was teacher's name? Do you remember?
Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Bradley.
David, we're thinking of offering you the role of wise man. I'm sorry, we did think you were good for Joseph, but not quite right. However, we are offering you the role of wise man. We'd really love you to play it. What do you say?
I'm okay, thank you.
You're turning it down?
Yeah.
David, are you completely insane? We're offering you the role of wise man. I know it's not the lead, but you know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bradley. I just don't think you can make the money work.
Well, to hell with you then. You're expelled.
Is that how it went?
It didn't, but it could have done.
Right.
Very easily. It was a tense atmosphere.
Mr. Bradley, was he a little bit upset?
Had
anyone ever turned down a role before?
I don't believe so, no. I think it was a school first.
I think that's really exciting and interesting that your career began with a no.
Mm. Well, then what happened next? It was cut forward a couple of years.
Did you see the play?
I did.
And was it good? Were you watching it going,
I only had eyes on that third wise the entire time.
Were you mouthing his words and stuff?
I hadn't even looked at the
script.
Oh,
you did an audition? They threw you a wise man and said, do you want to play it?
I mean, I was a tiny child.
They threw you a beard and a robe and
said, see
if this fits.
It sowed the seed of what if. Some children's entertainers came to our school.
Mm.
And they did The Emperor's New Clothes in the first half. And then in the second half, there was no interval that I remember.
God, no.
Not with children. I mean,
you don't want
having a gin and tonic and a bag of crisps.
God, no.
And in the second half, they did magic. And they started the second half after a lackluster Emperor's New Clothes, to be honest.
Oh, not good?
Well, it's a story about a naked man for children.
What, did they use one of those sort of bodysuits?
No, he wore...
like a naked body with a
Victorian, massive cock. Victorian undershirt. You know, one of the striped ones with the flap for
that
the anus.
Works. That's...
and one of those. And
they had a flap for an anus?
Well, not for his anus.
Oh, not a flap instead of an anus.
No, you know, the prospector...
I was going to say, we've really evolved since
An old prospector shirt. You know, one
yes,
of those.
Yes, I know what you're talking
shit
about.
In the woods. Yeah.
Always look a bit dirty.
Always look
Why
a bit
do
dirty.
They always look a bit dirty?
Mm, I don't know.
Because they wear them every night.
And they only wash in the river and they don't take it
you
off.
Ooh, I'm so glad we're living now.
Yeah. We've got a hot point to do that for us.
They didn't have a boost.
They did not.
Their boost was, you know, grabbing a fish.
That's it. Rubbing yourself.
Rubbing a fish
with
on
a carp. But they came and they started the second half show, the magic show, by saying, is it anybody's birthday today?
Wow.
And none of the children said anything because it was nobody's birthday.
Right.
And they said, is it somebody called David's birthday today?
Fuck.
Now, I was in a school that...
You were like, hang on, teach, this is black magic.
There were three Davids in my school, so the three Davids sort of looked at each other. It was none of our birthdays, so we stayed quiet. And they said, is it David Reed's birthday today?
Fuck.
And I started getting palpitations because I didn't like standing up in public.
This is black magic.
And it wasn't my birthday. It was my birthday that week, and I don't say anything because I'm now feeling the inevitable at this point, but... they say, is it David Reed's birthday? I know I'm the only David Reed in school, but it isn't my birthday.
This is like a horror story.
I stay quiet. So then they say, where's David Reed? and the children around me all point at me.
Were they getting angry, or was this part of the show? Sorry, I'm ruining
this
show.
This was the head teacher doing this for them. And so the head teacher... Oh,
this wasn't the troop.
Not at this point, no.
I loved that he went, "Where's David Reed?"
And I was marched out to the front.
Fuck.
And in front of the whole school.
Oh, God.
And
it's like the Nazis all over.
I became the stooge in their magic show.
Right.
The most unwilling stooge.
God.
So they dressed me up as Superman. They put... They put humorous large glasses on me in order to curtail my laser vision that set fire to something in the magician's hand.
I'm surprised.
And I was just being shuffled around it like a zombie, not wanting to be involved. And they cut me in half with a massive razor blade. And he whispered...
Was that a joke? What?
No, that was one of the tricks they did.
With a razor blade?
Cutting the woman in half, but with a small boy.
Razor blade?
A big sort of...
I mean, razor blades have quite...
It was a four-foot razor blade, yeah. And he whispered in my ear, "When we do this, let out a big scream and scare all the girls." That's what he said to me, an 8-year-old boy. And he slammed down the razor blade and cut me in half. And I didn't make a sound. I had not volunteered for this.
But this is like a horror movie. Mm. This is horrific. But
what happened next, Anna, is where it truly begins. Because in break time afterwards, the entire school was crowded around me.
Wow.
Asking questions.
Oh, God, you got wanting the bug. To test you my got bitten by the bug.
Wanting to test my super strength.
Fuck.
Asking how I set fire to that thing. And I very calmly led them all over to a bench where I sat down and took questions one by one.
A Q&A.
A
Q&A. It was your first Q&A.
My first Comic-Con. That was
your first Comic-Con. Your first...
And I was, about 8 years old.
The experience was kind of horrific.
Oh, absolutely.
But the aftermath...
Absolutely dreadful.
And has that always been the case?
I got through it alive. And
has that still been the case? You hate being on stage, but you love getting pissed afterwards.
No, I've met a lot of actors who get enormous anxiety about being on stage, but there's a great need in them to be seen at the same time. They're very conflicted. I am not that classic archetype. I am quite indifferent about performing.
But I feel like you're able to, which I think is very helpful, create structures in your head.
Yes.
So you can turn it into where some... You know when people say to you, "Oh, God, I could never do what you do."
Right.
"I could never get on stage." And I go, "Darling, I could never do what you do." And, of course, I'm lying, you know, because all other jobs are basically easy. But, you know, that thing of being on stage, I can see... as knowing you, I think you're able to create... It's okay because X, Y, and Z. Do you know what I mean? You can see it, again, going back to the George Lucas, you can see the whole clockwork...
The picture.
Feel of it. And you're creating a product as opposed to, "Oh, God, I've got to be really funny," or "I've got to really perform," or whatever. Right. I really admire it.
The first time I performed, actually performed, was to jump forward another 2 years.
Right.
And I was chronically bored at school. I was coming home morose and my parents were getting quite worried.
God.
And they...
Was that like an actual...
Very little memory.
You were actually described as chronically bored.
Not by a doctor, but I was saying I was bored a lot to my parents, and they decided they had to do something. And so, 10 years old, my last year of junior school, they moved me to another school. And it was a brand new school that was set up in the grounds of the school that Dame Judi Dench went to. The school she went to was all girls.
Mm.
And so, although it was co-ed, so boys and girls... Most parents just sent their girls there with the idea they'd continue into big school and carry on their whole time. And so I was the only boy in my class.
Fuck.
And so we then, at the end of that year, did a play, and we were all asked to audition.
So hang on, you were the only boy in the entire school?
In my year, there were two other boys in the school.
That's... Wow.
Overnight, all my friends were now girls.
Wow.
And that was just something I had to deal with. But I was visible. I was...
You mattered.
I was like the tallest kid in class. You can't hide.
They put you in the girls' school. So hang on a minute. They went, "Dave's chronically bored. Let's put him in an all-girls school.
Let's put him into a smaller school where he can get more attention from the teachers."
Oh, okay.
Because they got a report card back that said David has no interest in music or drama. And they were the only things after school I was interested in.
Oh. Were mum and dad in music and drama?
No, they were in teaching. So they were they had an
interested, but they weren't okay.
They're teachers.
Well, that's fascinating, David.
And I auditioned for The Bunyip, which was an adaptation of the children's book.
An Australian myth.
Yes, that's right. And I played the Now, he was a boxing...
Kangaroo.
It would have been... Is it a kangaroo?
Yeah, kangaroo's
a wallaby. It was a wallaby.
Oh, fuck.
He was a boxing wallaby. Oh, so I threw myself into the performance for the first time.
So you played a kangaroo?
A wallaby.
A wallaby.
I believe.
Pretending to punch.
The Bunyip meets me.
Was it a made-up story? All stories are made-up.
But it was a musical version of the Bunyip from...
And had the teacher written it?
Was yeah, the music teacher.
Oh, I love those ones. They're so much fun. Wonderful. So then, I mean, we're going to have to go fairly soon. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about the shower. But then, so turn down Wise Man.
Right.
Still think that was the right choice?
I do.
Or are you regretting it now?
I do.
Do you think your career would be... Do you think you'd be in Hollywood now if you'd done that Wise Man?
I think if I'd taken on the Wise Man, I would have been too big for my boots when the Magician's Assistant role came along.
Okay, Magician's Assistant really humbled you. To quite really brought you down. If this was a story, that would be The Dark Night of the Soul.
Right.
However, breaking to Act 3, you realise, oh no, there's something in this. I'm getting attention, leading to your final victory.
I can't,
as the kangaroo.
I can't hide from this, so I may as well embrace it. And that's what happened.
And you learnt there's an upside to the horror of being made to wear a Superman suit and glasses.
Right, and glasses.
And why did they think it was? Did they think it was your birthday?
The school had got it wrong. It was they'd sort of set
this whole thing up in a way for your birthday,
and they'd got it. They'd started off very poorly with their
wonderful. Where do we go next?
Well, why not
Edinburgh University? Was it?
That's right.
There you met lovely Tom and lovely Hunt, and there was a fourth.
There was Jamie Anderson.
Anderson.
He was a Scot. He didn't go to Edinburgh University. We just met him. He was at a separate college across town. But he started coming to improv workshops on a Sunday that I ran.
Right.
And
so the rest of you, Tom and Humph, were all in the same...
We were all in the Improverts, which was the university improv troupe, started in 89 by a Canadian. And
as they say. But were you immediately hit it off?
We met in rehearsals for that show for the first time. So we met trying to make each other laugh. We hadn't met socially beforehand.
That's nice.
So that's where we...
So you weren't on the same courses?
No, no.
Oh, it was like
was doing history, Tom was doing philosophy.
Even there.
And I was doing social anthropology with sociology.
Social anthropology with
I'm none the wiser.
No.
I mean, I passed it, but
you're still not a wise man.
No, not a wise man.
You still haven't entered that role.
Very much to
that. I think
you're
quite wise. So you... So you got together and you formed the Penny Dreadfuls,
right?
From the Improverts, and you said, "Let's put on a show."
And we did
at Edinburgh, and it immediately went really well.
We immediately
had a huge crowd.
We immediately had a huge crowd and got a radio series after one show.
Fucking hell!
And then we got a second
on radio.
It was called Radio 7, right? Back then, which is now 4 Extra.
Yes,
but Radio 7 commissioned its own shows back then.
Yes.
And then it got a second series before the first one had even gone out. And things seemed to be rolling and going very well. And then
my friend Colin had the first one.
Is that right?
Yes.
Ah.
With his friend Fergus.
Ah, wow.
Back in the day.
And we
another time, another life.
Another life, it was. It was. But I think at the same time, not to get too slaggy off about the system and everything, but I think at the same time, the route between radio and television that had been well established had been eroded by BBC Three not knowing what it was.
So before that, just for listeners in the comedy world, you had League of Gentlemen and
Mighty Boosh,
people like that.
And you'd basically go sort of Edinburgh did, Radio yeah, Edinburgh, 4
TV.
Yes. And that was a fairly... And League of Gentlemen was sort of the... Who we looked up to the most, I think.
Oh God,
at the time.
Yes, yeah. Everyone
but no, that's there. that.
Because I think the League of Gentlemen, they were northern,
right,
and they made it feel like you could do sketches that were accessible to a bigger public. I mean, my family back home loved it. You know,
right.
It wasn't all jolly hockey sticks.
No,
it wasn't posh.
I think Vic and Bob had opened that door as well.
Yeah, fair enough. But Vic and Bob, it was the surreal stuff, wasn't it?
Yes.
Whereas League of Gentlemen, they sort of... It's almost like you can be an actor, actually, and do plays, but do it as comedy.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas Vic and Bob were very much like a couple of blokes made each other laugh.
Which
is also wonderful.
You were never convinced of yourself. Where did Bob go?
Yeah.
Who's this character? Where did Bob disappear?
Like League of Gentlemen talk a lot about the truth of the characters and all that sort, and they're still into all that kind of thing.
I believe they were
brought
up by... horror films, I think. I think that's very clear.
Oh, yeah, no, that's in terms of the aesthetic, but I think in terms of where they're coming from as performers, they're actors.
They were. Did they go to drama school?
Bretton Hall, I believe, So, well, that's lovely. And you had fun. You did four shows?
We did five shows.
Five shows, and they all went great.
Yes.
But I remember talking, you know, it's hard, isn't it? With, I mean, this happens to all of us, you know, in sketch groups and so on. There comes a point where it's just like, either we get our TV series or where do we go?
I came to a realisation that sketch comedy only works as long as you value your time at £0. And as soon as you get some self-esteem, it's over.
Which is this thing, again, going back to the Northern thing and blah, 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 and what me and Sadie were talking about last week, which is so many actors and so on, and I think it's true of sketch groups as opposed to stand-ups, because stand-ups are working like fuck all the time.
Right. But so and many, being paid for it.
Yes, exactly. Actually being paid. Where so many sketch groups are basically independently wealthy.
Right.
You're and you're because you have to be, because there's no other choice.
Well, not forced to be. You can't retroactively become independently. Well, how else? But it's
and that's the problem, I think, and I think it's become more and more of a hobby, and I think people don't understand. In the 90s, I think it was all the rage, obviously, and now I think people don't really, as in the public, bless them, don't really understand that there are don't really understand the idea of characters. I don't think. No. I don't think they really exist anymore in that way.
Not in the same way. Not in a successful way.
No, I mean, I'd never do it. But now I go more into comedy, you know, because obviously I've done theatre a lot, but I started to do comedy, you know. They told me not to do it, you know, stick to what you're good at, Anna, sleeping and crying, you know. But I thought I want to do a bit of comedy, it's fun, and I've loved it. And I tell you why, the reaction, you know if it's working.
Right.
Because they laugh.
Right.
And the louder they laugh, the more they like it.
Whereas in a theater, more straight, a more visceral play, if they laugh, you know you've got it wrong.
Yeah, often. How do you quantify a
right.
You know, or a do you know what I mean? And the louder someone does that, yes, the louder someone, if someone's in the audience going, you think they're taking the piss.
If you have an elderly audience, you will get more active feedback, but it's equally unwelcome. So you'll get a little old lady, for instance, leaning over to her husband and going, "She's got a lantern." And things like that. Yes. Which isn't very useful feedback, I don't think, because you know you're holding a lantern.
But sometimes if I'm bored in a show, say, you know, for example, I was holding a lantern at the back of a show ages ago, and I was really fucking bored, so I didn't have any lines. And, you know, when I'm not doing any lines. It was an old play called The Highwayman's Three Dogs.
Right.
Really boring. And it was about these three dogs. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I was holding a lantern. I did hear an old woman go, "She's holding a lantern," you know, and I went, "Yes, I am, darling, I am." You know, and the old woman was going, "Oh, where did you get it?" I went, "Oh, well, it's actually a prop, but, you know, it looks real, doesn't it?" "Yes, it does look real." And the other actors got very angry. But the director was furious. But what the fuck are you doing, Anna? I said, "What? I'm chatting to the crowd.
You're engaging
your audience.
I'm bringing
them into your boring play."
Right. Breaking the fourth wall.
But who gives a fuck? I mean, because the fourth wall in this case was a very boring, drab wall that no one wanted to look at.
Right.
And also, if there's a wall there, I've had this argument with other actors for hours. If there's a wall there, they can't see you.
It's a good point.
That's, I mean, I'm no scientist.
No.
But that is a fact, right?
Well, that's what walls do. Otherwise, that's a window, isn't it?
What?
It's
just talk
it's not
to the audience.
It's not called a fourth window.
They know we're here. We know they're there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm arguably suggesting acting isn't a thing by saying this. I don't know. I'm getting into very shaky territory here. And I don't want to be biased.
I feel quite uncomfortable at the idea that acting isn't a thing.
Possibly.
Because I may have wasted my life.
Well, I think we've all wasted our lives, let's be honest. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have a life.
Yes.
It lasts how long? You know, 100 years? 150?
Well, we don't know.
But we don't know.
That's the beauty of it. The magic of it.
And the terror. But what do you do with it? That's the thing, isn't it? You know, because you do acting, and so many people would say that's a waste of your life because you should be making money.
Right.
You know, unless you're independently wealthy or you're very lucky. Or very good. You know, I'm none of those things. And I think if you're acting, is it worth it? Was it worth it? You know, I often think, was it worth it if I just stayed married to my first husband, Harold Bagg, you know? He was a lovely man. We just made sandwiches all day and it was lovely. It was boring, but it was lovely. You know? Would I be happier now? But then I think, well, I'd have never have gone to the planet of the gorilla people, you know?
No.
I'd have never been in Rogue Baker. All About a Baker Goes Rogue. You know, I'd have never done any of that stuff. Sometimes I think, I say this to the listener at home, what's it like to be you? You know? What's it like to be one of you? To never really feel anything? Do you ever think that when you're looking at the public?
I do, because...
To just sort of muddle along watching you strictly come to the jungle eating your chips and complaining about the heat.
I can say anything on stage and the audience will still feel nothing. And because that's who they are.
Well, because they can't really feel in the way we can.
No,
but they can only watch other people feel for them.
Right.
And that's why I think we are more important than doctors.
Like a dog watching television, really.
It is. So, we've gone on a long time, but the Penny Dreadfuls did very well. They were wonderful, and you're still working together, which makes me so happy.
Well, I write everything now, and we ship Humphrey over in a special box from America where he now lives, and we do one radio play a year, touch wood, long may it continue, and then he goes back again.
And Tom's lovely. I saw him not long ago.
That's right.
He comes back for it.
He's still sort of, he's the only one hanging around in London.
Oh, he's still the only one in London. The only dreadful in London.
That's right.
Or the only penny. Were you known as the Pennies or the Dreadfuls?
We always said Dreadfuls, and so our fans did too, and our producer always said Pennies because she felt uncomfortable by the word.
Lovely. Oh, okay, fair. Well, it is a downer immediately, isn't it, arguably? The new one, tell me a bit about the new one.
New one's called Hadrian's Beard, and it's about Emperor Hadrian's one and only trip to Britannia, as it was then, or the British Isles.
Yes.
And his decision to put up a bloody great wall to keep out the Damnoni.
The Damnoni,
who are the Caledoni, also known as
the Noni,
from the frozen north.
Wow! Oh, it's a bit Game of Thronesy.
Yes, but it also involves all of the elements that people often use with his trip. That there's a legion called the Ninth Legion, who,
and this is all research.
This is research and true, that who just disappear from the records around that time.
Oh, amazing!
And they were garrisoned in Britannia, and then they just go. And so everyone, lots of conspiracy theories and films about conspiracy theories of what happened to them.
Oh, wow.
And there's a very
The
famous,
Lost Legion, is
the
that?
The Lost Legion, that's it.
So you're the sixth, this is the sixth one you've done, is that
the
right?
The ninth.
The ninth?
The one about the
Jesus
ninth is
Christ.
The ninth one we've done.
And so you did, and tell me which ones have you done? Guy Fawkes was
Guy
first.
Fawkes.
So they're, just to explain, it's probably pretty self-evident, but they're sort of historical plays about a particular character, and Dave,
but comedies,
but a comedy take on that, and Dave, Tom and Humphrey play everyone apart from, you normally have, did you
usually
Richard
have
E.
guest
Grant
star.
In it once?
So Guy Fawkes was played by Kevin Eldon, the actor Kevin Eldon,
right, yes.
Then Richard E. Grant and Sally Hawkins played the leads in Revolution, about the French Revolution.
Oh, fuck.
They both now have Oscar nominations, which is quite exciting.
Coincidence?
Well, we're hoping they're not the last two.
Yes, oh, wonderful.
From that show. Then we did Harrowwood the Wake, which is about 1066.
Harrowwood
the Wake was a sort of Robin Hood vigilante who withheld against William the Conqueror.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So
yes.
It's his
last. I
haven't
heard that one. Are they all still available on iPlayer?
You can get them on iTunes or Audible.
Oh, you can buy them.
There's two albums. They're available as two albums.
Oh, fuck. That's wonderful. And sorry, so quickly through the last...
Guy Fawkes, French Revolution, Harrowwood the Wake. Then we went on to do Macbeth Rebothered, it was called, which was the more accurate tale of Macbeth.
Oh, wow.
We did Homer's Odyssey, which has Robert Webb. Is Odysseus. We did The Curse of the Beagle, which was based on Charles Darwin's Voyage of the Beagle, but the stories he left out because he couldn't explain them.
Oh.
Then we did Le Carré on Spying, which was a John Le Carré novel about the author himself when he was a spy. And then we did Don Quixote, our version with Sylvester McCoy as Don Quixote.
Oh, fuck, yes, I remember that.
And then that's up to the ninth, Hadrian's Beard.
Incredible. Well done, David. That's really exciting. That's so lovely. And so they're all available. Look up the Penny Dreadfuls.
That's right. On iTunes or Audible.
iTunes Audible.
I've got my own podcast called Inside the Comedian, where I do not speak like this.
No.
I speak like an actor would.
Yes, posh.
So people will listen.
Yes.
And then, yes.
And then we didn't get to the end of career, because we were sort of running out of time.
But we did the origin story.
We did the origin, and that's what matters, isn't it, really? But David's doing very well, and he's a lovely man, wonderful shower.
Thanks.
And his lovely wife, Danielle, who I will try and interview another time. She's not here today.
She's not, no.
But we I've been allowed to stay in their house and eat their toast, and it's been, and use their boost. And it's been really wonderful. It really has. So look out for David's things. Inside the Comedian,
podcast and The Penny Dreadfuls. Can we wrap up saying something about this North-South divide? Where do you think it's going? Is it getting worse or better? Because it felt for a while like the Northerners had really got their foot in the door for a bit, didn't it? You know, with Beanie and all the other
games. Oh, right. And actually now, stealthily as well, with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. And,
yes,
and
all that. But then they had to, they were all they had to pretend, though, didn't they?
They did.
To, that's what I'm saying. But then Beanie was more like kind of, we are.
Let's not pretend anymore.
Yes, yes.
No, I won't do your fucking accent.
Yes.
I'll play Hamlet like this. So, of course, they didn't cast him.
Yeah, yeah, well, yes. And so where are we at now, do you think? From
I think Game of Thrones has opened the door slightly. But as I say, they're all posh, doing a northern accent.
Are they all posh? Yeah, all of them.
I mean, Kit Harington is a descendant of Robert Catesby, who actually did the Gunpowder Plot. Like, he's that posh.
So were Catesby's descendants still posh? He wasn't sort of completely excommunicated.
They were northern posh. So they.
And how did they? Because surely after that, I'd have thought the whole family would just be sort of salted.
Oh, they probably were, and that's but.
But they kept.
They still had. Were allowed to have children. They just weren't. You know.
But they still kept their. I mean, that would be a black.
Well, he's a Harrington. He's not a Catesby, so I don't know at what point it diverged. But.
Wow, that's fascinating. Mm. Absolutely lovely. Well, darlings, that's the end. I hope you've enjoyed my little chat with David. I certainly have. We'll be hopefully back next week. I don't know who with. I'm just basically staying at people's houses and then demanding they do a podcast with me and let me use their shower. I think the podcast is going to go more shower based.
I think
if
that's
you know
why.
What I mean. I don't know. I think the acting's all fun, but also
I
who gives
out
a shit,
a bit
really?
When I was talking about my life, to be honest.
You doubted your life?
No, I zoned out a bit.
You zoned
I
out? Oh, God, stuff. I can't remember any of it. The shower stuff, I don't know. I think there's something in that. Mm. I don't know. Tweet the podcast and just let us know. Or tweet at Colin Holt, which is obviously the very much the light, the day to my night.
Right.
At Colin Holt is the place to tweet. Colin Holt Comedy and Anna Man Actress on Instagram and Colin Holt on Facebook, colinholt.net. And someone says, Colin Holt, fucker. And,
he's your man, is he?
He's the admin man. And
McKellen has a similar thing.
Yes, I'm sure it does. And, of course, YouTube, Colin Holt Comedy. And T-shirts now available at Tea Republic. Tea Public. I keep calling it Tea Republic. I've sold one. I've had a lot of stuff in my life happen. I have had a lot of roles, often cut, but I've had a lot of roles. Big films, you know, back in the day, Who's for Turkish Delight, you know, stuff like that, which is still a classic. But nothing quite gave me as much of a thrill as getting a text saying, you've sold a T-shirt.
Do you know who to?
I think I saw someone saying they were going to buy one.
Right.
So I think it might be them. And please, if that person could send me some feedback, because I just did it randomly. Well, I did it drunk, I won't lie, and I hope it worked. It took me about 20 seconds, which feels far too quick to create a product and then sell it. So please do let me know if it looks all right, and don't ask for your money back if it doesn't. But ask them, because I was a little bit upset when I discovered I get $2. For every T-shirt.
It's not a lot, is it?
I went, there's the flaw in this. I thought
they
I was...
They take 10, you take 2.
Yes, I genuinely thought I was going to be loaded from that. But no, we're looking at some merch. So I'm going to basically get as much merch out of this cash cow that is I before the inevitable backlash. And also, very exciting, we're going to be... I think I've already said this, but we're on Friday, next Friday, a week today, we're going to be filming a Channel 4 pilot of Anna Man's Little Chat
exciting.
Show. Very exciting, isn't it? And I'm afraid if anyone is wanting to come along to that, we put out for audience and it immediately covered. All the audience.
Wow.
Full. Straight away. Wonderful. Which was so... And I just want to say, in all sincereness, thanks to everyone who is supporting Anna Man's fun. I was up in York doing a gig, and I'm in Leeds tonight, and I've got lots of gigs coming up, and it's genuinely very touching that people actually find this remotely interesting. And as long as you do, I will keep doing it, and possibly beyond. Anyway, my lovely husband-to-be, possibly one day David Reed, a wonderful man, and thanks to everyone who gives a shit. All right, we'll leave it there. Please tune in next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.